for the announcements. Wednesday night services, and then not only that, but next Sunday will be homecoming. You invite people and invite friends and the individuals that's in church. They have a home church. You can invite them to the song service that afternoon and invite them to the revival. But we don't want to be called a church of proselytes. I'm trying to steal somebody else's members, because I told y'all before, if I can get them in with a hot dog, somebody else can get them with a hot dog and a bag of chips. So, but we need some people like you that are faithful. Faithful to his house. But I know we have a whole lot of people out here today. They've got disgruntled and they have things on their heart and everything. They don't know which way to turn anymore, because the churches has let them down at times. The pastors has let them down in what they're preaching. But we need to kind of be an emergency room for them, to where they can come in and they can have the emergency care on their heart and on their soul. And we got the remedy for it. We got the vaccine for it. And that's the word of God. And thank you for praying, and thank you for being showing up this morning. I can basically tell you the reason that Brendan and Dion are not here tonight is because they've had an opportunity where they can go back to Eden this evening and see the children. But they're hoping and praying that, that they'll get the children back very soon. I don't know all the details behind all of that, but what I've been told, that is, I don't understand it, but the Lord does. And my prayer is the Lord will take control of that, and he will, if it means that he has to touch their heart through this, then touch it. I don't know what their heart is in need of today. So, but tonight, I just want you to turn to, in the book of Psalms tonight, the book of Psalms, we can see right here in the book of Psalms that it's a whole lot here, but here in chapter 119 of the book of Psalms, but as we go over here and read in verse 19, Psalms 119. Psalms 119. We can see right here where there's a whole lot that we can get out of the book of Psalms, and it can help us. It can help us to have the joy and the fulfillment of God's blessings in our soul and in our heart. But it says right here in verse 11 in Psalms 119 in verse 11. It says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thou statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgment of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the law, in the way of thy testimony, as much as in all the riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statute. I will not forget thy word. Our Father, we thank you this evening that where we can be back in the house of the Lord. Father, it's a privilege just to be here and among these people tonight. And Father, we count it a privilege to be able to just to speak to you in prayer and just talk to and just lay our hearts out to you tonight. So Father, we pray in God that something unusual will happen here within the hearts and lives of the people. Father, we pray for that unction from on high, God. Father, that you may fill my soul with your spirit tonight. That it will go forth and touch hearts. And Father, will go forth and touch my own heart tonight. Lord, tonight I need a closer walk than what I did this morning. Because this morning, yes, Lord, you give me a closer walk, but now I need it again once tonight. I need to be closer to you tonight. And Father, and tomorrow, I need to be closer to you tomorrow. Each and every day, my prayer is that you'll crucify me. And Father, that you will just look down on me. And Father, and just do what you have to do to get me stirred. And Father, get me right with thee. We just want to thank you and want to love you. In Jesus' precious, precious name we pray. Amen and amen. And over here in Psalms 107, it says, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of thine enemy, and gathered them out of the land, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness. In the solitary way, they found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, thy soul fainteth in them. We see right here where, over there in Psalms 119 and what we just read, that what I believe the writer here was saying is he was asking us as individuals, and he's revealing to us also that we must take his word and we must take it and hide it in our heart. Because you know today that it's getting harder and harder than where we can go out and we can be a witness to people. Even in the hospital, you can't carry tracts up and give them out no more. They have banned that. Well, they cannot give tracts out no more at the hospital. But yet, you take some other religious group that believes in anything that they want to believe in, they can go up there and they can share what they want to. But the people that can share the truth of the Word of God and all the things, we can't do it anymore. They are not allowing us to do it. And I didn't realize that at one time because it's been a while since I'd even visited a hospital. But I know the last time that I went up there, one of the receptionists or nurses or aide or whatever, I had some tracts and I went up to her and I offered her a tract. She said, we can't receive them anymore. We can't take a tract no more. They won't let us take a tract no more. You can't come up here and pass out tracts anymore. I said, why? Why did they start something like that? She said, because the only thing she can figure out is they was having too many preachers coming and too many denominations coming. Well, I think it should be left up to the individual that's a patient in the hospital. I mean, then why do, when I go to the hospital, and if I go to the hospital, then they ask me, what faith am I? Which church do I go to? What denomination do I go to? Well, if I can't allow somebody else to come and bring me a tract, then what does that mean to you then? I mean, why are you asking me what denomination or whatever I am or whatever? Why are you asking these things? And I know it's nothing but the devil. The devil's doing everything he can to destroy the work of God. Now, I know that when I first come down here, I told you, and I prayed, and maybe I preached it too much. I don't know. I hope not. But I don't think it's really that we can preach on anything, really, that much of that. Well, we need to look to Him for our faith. Not only that, it takes our faith to go out here and do something and be able to lead someone else to the Lord. And then it takes their faith to believe in Him. Because if they don't have no faith in God, they cannot get saved. You don't get saved by works. You get saved by faith through works. And then you go out and you serve Him. But it's a whole lot of preachers, and I won't say this because I was a preacher. So if they want to, if you want to say something to one of them or whatever, they want to come and talk to me about it or confront me about it, I just tell them the way I believe in it and what I believe in it. Is that once you come to the saving grace of God and His power, I don't believe there's nothing in this world that will keep you separated from God and separated from His people. Now, you know, we don't have that very many here, but hey. But what did this little group of people right here have? You had faith. You had the most important ingredient of it all. And no doubt that you probably said, devil, you might well go on and get out of here because we're not going to close this door. See, that's all he wanted. He wanted just to close the doors. Well, then the church would say, well, we need to go on sell a church. But you know, we can start something else. We can start small and or whatever. But then the thing about it is, but then you end up taking the church and you're selling the church because you don't have no money or whatever. The church don't have the means to operate on. And what have you done? You allowed individuals in the world, the people that's in the world and of the world, to come in and purchase this. To purchase it. And then to bring in all the things that they believe in. Bring in this and bring in that. And the next thing you know, you'll have, you could come here and visit and see what type of individuals they are. Now, how many would upset you if you was to ever come into this church and you'd say, well, hey, Lord, we just sorry, we just can't make it. We just can't make it. You see, you had faith. You had faith in Him. And you took some of His words that you have learned down through the years and some scripture that you know personally yourself, and you took that and you hid that in your heart, that you can have "I heal" each and every day. Each and every day that we go out here, we talk to people or whatever, we can take and hide God's word in our heart to where the devil himself cannot attack us without the permission of God. And you know, the only reason God will ever give the devil permission to attack one of his children, the saints of God, is when the saints of God has come up and basically give up on God. When they basically give up on God, "God, I cannot give up on God. God did not give up on me. I mean, that's the reason I'm here, standing here today, is because of the grace of God. Because of God's redemption at Christ's expense. That's the reason I'm standing here tonight. That's the reason you're here tonight. It's because the grace of Almighty God." God's redemption at Christ's expense. God didn't go to Calvary. His son went to Calvary. His son is the one that hung between heaven and earth. Not me and not you. I should have been there. They should have took and they should have tied that cross on my back to where I would have to carry it up the hill to Golgotha. The hill of the skull. The where they could take and they could dig that. They got that hole already digged and they could take it and plant me in that hole. That's what it represents. The cross right there represents the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Savior. Why does it represent that? Because it had a hole. It wasn't that big. It was big enough to hold the cross up. But as he was stretched out, and the soldiers and the people back then, even the devil himself, did not realize what he was doing. When he was there hanging on the cross between heaven and earth, and you was looking at him, seen the cross. You've seen the cross where he bared for our sin. But the reason his arms was extended out like this, what it was he was inviting the whole world in. He was inviting the whole nation to come to him and believe and trust in him. By faith. And then by faith, and then after we're saved, then that's when we work. That's when work takes over. Then we must work. Why? Because of our faith. We don't work for salvation. We have faith. And faith will lead us to salvation. But then that's when we need to start working. You know, and I give all kinds of excuses right after I first got saved. But you know, the Lord will do things, he'll bring things up to you that sometimes you just can't get out of it. But I can remember for the first time that the Lord started dealing with me about preaching. And I said, "God," I said, "I am no preacher. God, I know there's somebody else out there that could do a whole lot better job than I could." I said, "I can't even talk." I said, "My tongue gets twisted, my mouth gets dry. I can't stand up and speak to people." I mean, I had a hard time speaking to the Sunday school class, the 7 and 8 year old. And you wouldn't think you'd have that much of a hard time speaking to them, but I did. And this is what my pastor told me. And he said, the reason you're having a hard time in speaking is because you're nervous because of what you're giving out. You're nervous because you don't want to give out something that's wrong. And I was so scared that I was going to give out something wrong. I was so scared that I was going to say something wrong that will speak to the individual's heart about, well, I don't need church. But I'll tell you one thing. God took an old sinner and he saved him by his marvelous grace. He saved him. Then God says, I want you to pray. You remember the story back over? It's not a story. It's not a story. But it's literally. In the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, when God started dealing with Moses there by going out and preach. He come up with all kinds of excuses not to do anything at all for God. Kind of like me today. I've come up with excuses and not doing something for the Lord. And it's not that hard. It's not that hard for us to come up with excuses and not going out and telling somebody about Jesus. I can say to you, Lord, tonight, today I feel so bad. I'm tired. I've got a headache. I'm stumbling. I don't know if I'm going to fall or whatever. Lord, I feel like it. It's not hard for me to come up with some type of excuse. Well, then one day, I'm going to have to face him there in heaven. And he knows before he even asks me what I'm going to say. He knows exactly what you're going to say before he even asks me. But we're going to have to give an account of what we have done since salvation. And he's going to say, Donnie, I see what's running in your mind now. You can't go. No excuses will work. No excuses here. You remember the individual that right after you got saved and everything that I asked you to go and talk to that night? You wouldn't go because you hadn't been long got home. You said you was tired. You know, I asked you to go see Connie. You didn't go see Connie. You wanted me to do it during the week. Then what happened? Then Friday night, he was out at the Skylark. Now, don't get just because he was like, hey, yes, I used to go out there too before I got saved. I used to go out there, I used to drink the beer and everything that they're serving out there. I'm not proud of today. But I thank the Lord, he brings back the things of the past for us to remember. And he has brought that to my past.
The past, they brought to me, is to remember some things that I did not do. And I didn't really do anything that happened. That I didn't. He was in my mind. One day he was in my mind. And then Friday night, sign of his the traffic of his vehicle was right at the edge of the bank of the river. Now with a telephone pole on the other side of that, not the river, but the street side. He hit the telephone pole. Broke the glass and everything, but the splinter and the wood and everything from the pole come down and injured. Like I said, the crew came by, they picked him up and took him to the hospital. And he lived in an arm. When I heard that he lived in an arm, I promised God, anytime in the house, if you want me to let them know who the Almighty is and everything, and I'll be good with them, but I'm not, and I'm going to come to somebody's face. And he was my friend. This was one of my closest friends that I hung around with. But because of my own ignorance and because of my own stupidity, he got killed that night. The only thing that I'm having hope in, and I'm trusting, that sometime once it got to the hospital, he was in the emergency room, and when you put him into a room, that he called on the Lord. Some people, even some preachers I hear, and they try to indoctrinate that into me, said, well, this deathbed salvation, you can forget it. It's nothing to it. Yes, oh, they've admitted a life that they wanted to, but if you come and if you go to them and they lay on the bed and they can just hear you and everything, and you pray with them and everything, and then you tell them like the Lord and everything. We don't have to have a vulnerable speech. We don't have to come out and verbally say, Lord, save my soul. We don't have to do that. Because, see, God doesn't listen to what comes from his lips. God listens to the heart. To the intent of the heart. And I can't never get over that. I cannot get over my friend dying because of my stupidity and my ignorance and my
excuses that I come up with. I just could not. I will never forgive you. See, when I get to heaven, that's going to be blood. It's going to be dripping from his fingers. It's not going to be my Pacific blood or the Lord Jesus Christ's blood. It's going to be blood of the individual that God spoke to me about, to going and talking to. And I would not, because I had too much pride. And you know what pride will do to you? You know, pride is a sin. And this, I reckon, probably this, what I'm getting ready to say now, probably it may not hit everybody, but it hits me right square, right here, between the eyes. And that's worry. Do you realize? And Donnie, do I realize that worry is a sin? What the Bible says. And you can go on and read and everything else. And also, I believe that when it comes right down to it, probably 95% or 99% of the stuff that we worry about never comes to pass. Why? Because we need to try to do our very best to serve Him. He knows that we can't serve Him in with a perfect body. He knows that. But we'll come to God and we'll ask God for this and for that and everything. We'll say, well, God, you know, we'll come to God sometime with questions and everything. So, you know, God, you are so dumb.
You don't know what you're saying. I believe when we come to Him in prayer, we must leave it with Him. We must leave our cares to Him, the way He can be able to take up that care and He can be able to work that care out and design it in a way to where His Son, Jesus Christ, will be honored and glorified and lifted up for it. And then we can go around shouting the victory. And I'm just like anyone else. I'll come to the altar and I'll bring my prayer request to the altar. And then, the next thing I know, I got the prayer request at the end. Why? I didn't leave it all there. I didn't leave it all there watching God answer. God won't answer. He said, why should I answer your request that you got it with you? Then what you going to say? He said, I knew if I just hung in there and if I kept on keeping on and doing it, then I'll be God's Lord. We have this church right here has seen, experienced more miracles than probably 10 or 15 churches have experienced in 25 or 30 years. Why? Faith and the trust that we have in Him. The faith and the trust that we have in Him verifies one thing, verifies His role. Verifies His position. And the Lord Jesus Christ, He will turn around, He will go to the Father, and He said, Father,
forgive them. And I had an individual ask me, says one time, says, well, how do you know the Father forgave you? Well, I said, one reason, because it's in the Word of God, it said it would. But not only that, I didn't go straight to the Father. I went to His Son and I asked Him to forgive me, because His name, His reputation is the one that I was defying. That's the reason I know. They said, well, you can't absolutely know for sure. Oh, I said, oh, yes, I can. He said, you don't know that Jesus has took your prayer request to the Father and asked the Father to forgive you of it? I said, yes, I can. They says, how? I said, well, one thing about it is, I said, the judges that we have over in the city of Danville or Pennsylvania County or anywhere in the land, we can go to, we can present our case to them, and the only thing they hear is what we say. I don't know anything about the judges. I don't know anything about their qualifications. I don't know anything about their moral standards. I don't know anything about them. Repeating, you know yourself, when Jesus was on this earth, before He was even gave up His life and before He was ever crucified, He always, when He went to God for anything, and He prayed that God would help him. And he asked God, he says, not my will, but thy will be done. Because he knew that he had the flesh of mankind on him. So he says, not my will, but thy will. Nowhere you'll find in Scripture in the Old Testament or in at all to where Jesus says, I forgive you. I forgive you because of my will. He knew who He was serving. He was serving the Father. Now we're here today. We're serving who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. And who is He to us? Like I said this morning, He's my elder brother. He wants the very best for me. He wants the very best for me. And we must realize that He has our very best interest. Everyone stand, eyes closed, as Brother Bill comes. Anybody that wants to come to the altar tonight, you feel free to come and just pray. And if you don't have anything to pray about for yourself, you can definitely come and pray for revival, old-fashioned revival.